Envy. We call it the green-eyed monster. That phrase probably started with Shakespeare when he wrote the tragedy Othello in 1603. Oh, beware, my lord, of jealousy. It is the green-eyed monster which doth mock. Long before Shakespeare or even Pope Gregory put their fingers on envy as a deadly sin and a vicious vice, Moses descended the slope of Mount Sinai with two clay tablets, each written upon by the finger of Almighty God. We know them as the Ten Commandments. The tenth one places a bullseye on the green-eyed monster. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
In James chapter 4, verse 2, we read these sobering words: you envy and cannot obtain, so you quarrel and fight. Hello, I'm Brian Davis, and this is Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Well, today Ron takes us to the sixth of the seven deadly sins, envy. It stirs up untold amounts of strife in relationships, in the church, and as we've seen in recent years, it can drive a wedge through an entire culture. How do we overcome this deadly sin? Find out next as Ron continues his teaching series, Undefeated, Overcoming the Deadly Sins That Drag You Down. Stay right here or pay us a visit at somethinggoodradio.org, where you can listen to any of Ron's messages on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Now here's Ron with today's Something Good radio message, Defeating Envy.
Carol Markowitz is a columnist for the New York Post, and not too long ago she wrote an article titled America's Ugly Epidemic of Social Media Envy. Interesting title, at least it caught my attention. And she begins with a provocative question: when did envy become okay? And she went on to write, I'm constantly hearing or seeing not very guilty admissions of people being jealous of a friend for, say, something seen on Instagram. Whether it's eye rolling at a friend's exotic trip, snarking on someone's great seats at the ball game, or commenting about an acquaintance's restaurant every night lifestyle, jealousy is in. Have we become a culture of green-eyed monsters who, in the parlance of hip-hop, hate on our friends and acquaintances for all they have and what we don't have? Maybe it's social media, she says. Study after study shows that our jealousy spikes with our use of social sharing sites. Interesting, isn't it? And she goes on to cite two university studies that suggest this is true. According to a study at the University of Michigan, get this, the more people use Facebook, the worse they feel about their own lives. Does any of that ring true? And then there was another study by Oxford University, across the pond in England there. Instagram is the most envy-inducing social media platform. Interesting studies. My question and my reaction to this was, why are two esteemed universities even doing studies like this? But it's interesting the glimpse they give us into our culture today. Markowitz concludes with this insightful and somewhat damning observation of our culture and our social media practices. She says, never before, listen to this, never before have so many had so much while still wanting more. I'll let that sink in just for a moment. And then ask yourself this question: does that describe me? Am I among those that she describes as never before having so much and have had so much while still wanting more? Moya Sarnar is a columnist for another periodical called The Guardian, and she agrees with Carol Markowitz. She says, we live in the age of envy. Career envy, kitchen envy, children envy, food envy, upper arm envy, whatever that is, holiday envy. She says, you name it, there's an envy for it. Human beings have always felt what Aristotle defined in the 4th century BC as pain at the sight of another's good fortune, stirred by those who have what we ought to have. She says, though it would be another 1,000 years before envy would make it onto Pope Gregory's list of the 7 deadly sins. We're in a series of messages called Undefeated, Overcoming the Deadly Sins That Drag You Down. And we're talking about, a list of vicious vices that appeared back in the 6th century. Pope Gregory was the one who first put the list out there: pride, anger, lust, laziness, gluttony, envy, and greed. And today we're talking about defeating envy, what is sometimes called the green-eyed monster. Have you ever heard that phrase? Is the green-eyed monster alive and well in you? Now, that phrase probably started with, of all people, Shakespeare, back in 1603 when he wrote one of his tragedies called Othello. Oh, beware, my lord, of jealousy. It is the green-eyed monster which doth mock. Great words from Shakespeare. But you may be wondering, what is envy? Let's insert a definition here from the dictionary. Envy is a feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to another's advantages, successes, or possessions. Now think about that. Envy, that green-eyed monster, rears its ugly head in our lives when we look around and compare ourselves to one another and say, you have a greater advantage than I do. You have more privilege than I do. You've achieved more success than I do. You have more stuff than I do. You go on better vacations than I do. I want what I should get, and I want yours. You hear it in our culture today. And some of what is happening in our culture, the way we're spinning out of control in so many different ways, and I understand there are deeper issues and legitimate issues we need to discuss at this stage in our history, and we want to make more progress on the all men are created equal and all of that, but some of it is driven by envy. Some of it is driven by the kind of jealousy that says, you have an advantage I don't have. You have a privilege I don't have. You have stuff that I don't have. Listen, friends, America is a place of equal opportunity. It's not a place of equal outcomes. Never has been. Equal opportunity, yes. And we need to make progress on making sure there's opportunity, equal opportunity for all. But there will always be somebody who has more than you. There will always be somebody who has more than me. And guess what? Somebody is looking at you and the stuff that you have, and they're full of envy and jealousy. They may peek in on your social media feeds and see a vacation that you took, or a new this or a new that that you bought, or you know how we position ourselves here. We always look our best, don't we? Is it to invoke jealousy and envy in our friends, in our neighbors? Well, according to Carol Markowitz, it's working. When did envy become okay? But here's the thing. Equal opportunity, yes. Not equal outcome. There will always be somebody who has more. And that green-eyed monster, if we let him run loose in our hearts, it'll just create a dark place there that, we got to get after and defeat. In fact, long before Pope Gregory or Shakespeare or even Aristotle, the philosopher, put their fingers on envy and called it a deadly sin or a vicious vice, there was a guy named Moses who came down the slope of Mount Sinai with 2 clay tablets in his hands. And we know it as the 10 Commandments, written upon by nothing less than the finger of Almighty God. And do you remember what the 10th commandment says? Let me remind you. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything. Say the word anything with me. Anything. Anything that is your neighbor's. Don't covet it. Don't let the green-eyed monster get the best of you, and you have envy toward what your neighbor has. The renowned theologian J.I. Packer calls covetousness the first cousin to envy. And that word covet may seem a little bit strange to our modern ears. You may not use it in your everyday language. You may prefer the word envy or jealousy, but covetousness, it just seems strange to us. But more than 3,000 years ago, from God's perspective, he felt that it was one of the top 10 things he wanted to communicate to his people for their ordering, not only of the human heart, but the proper ordering of society. As they lived in that theocracy in the Old Testament, the Lord said, listen, you're not going to do well with me or with one another if your heart is full of covetousness and envy. In some sense, when you're reading the Ten Commandments and you're studying them, you remember those commandments that we took down from the walls and we said wasn't important to the ordering of our society or the ordering of our human hearts? Those Ten Commandments, it's easy to underestimate the tenth one. It's easy to read through those ones that we know, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, honor your father and your mother, all those kinds of things. But we forget the one about covetousness. We almost say the Ten Commandments end with a whimper, not a bang. Until you realize the interconnectedness between this 10th commandment and all the others. Again, J.I. Packer notes the way covetousness, for example, was at the root of King David's greatest sin. Listen to this. He says, David took Bathsheba, thus by theft, breaking the 8th commandment, and got her pregnant, thus breaking the 7th commandment, and then to avoid scandal, arranged for her husband Uriah to be killed, thus breaking the 6th, and it all began with David coveting his neighbor's wife, a breach of the 10th.
Don't go away. We're only about halfway through today's message with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Today's teaching is part of Ron's series, Undefeated, Overcoming the Deadly Sins That Drag You Down. Look for it online at somethinggoodradio.org. Well, for several months now, we've been offering you a wonderful resource from Dr. Ron Jones called The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. And that two-volume book is still available through our website, somethinggoodradio.org, and it's on sale this Christmas for 25% off. But today, Ron has a brand new book to share with you, just in time for Christmas. He joins me now to talk about it. Ron, so excited about the release of your new book, The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. What inspired you to write this book?
Thanks for the question, Brian. You know, I think all of us, no matter how long we've been following Jesus, can use some help with our prayer life. I know I can, and I'm supposed to be a professional at this, right? I can totally understand why the disciples approached Jesus and asked him to teach them how to pray. Fortunately, the model prayer Jesus gave his disciples is recorded for us in the pages of Scripture and preserved for nearly 2,000 years. It's known worldwide as the Lord's Prayer. I call it the Jesus Way to Pray.
Ron, you say in the introduction to the book, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus. What do you mean by that?
Well, Brian, to say, Lord, teach us to pray, as Jesus' disciples did, is kind of like asking Michael Jordan or LeBron James to teach us how to play the game of basketball, or Leonardo da Vinci to teach us how to paint a masterpiece like The Last Supper or the Mona Lisa, or Michelangelo to teach us how to sculpt a marble stone into David or the Pietà. Truly, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus.
I appreciate your thoughts as always, Pastor, and thanks for sharing this important resource with us. Again, that book is called The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Pre-order your copy of Ron's new book for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with friends this Christmas by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack of The Jesus Way to Pray for a donation of $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-4444. 1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Envy or covetousness is every bit as lethal as the rest of the deadly sins. But what makes it so dangerous is what it can lead to. Here's Ron with the rest of today's Something Good radio message, Defeating Envy.
You see, back when the deadly sins were first before us and emerging, they called them gateway sins. Why was envy and jealousy and covetousness a deadly sin? Because it could become a gateway, well, to murder, to adultery, to the breaking of all of the commandments. I'll take Packer's words and go a little bit further. According to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, covetousness, trying to help you understand just how serious this matter is, covetousness is idolatry, which breaks the first and second commandments about worshiping God exclusively. So in summary, what we could say about King David, and I'm sorry to pick on David, but he's the example in Scripture here. King David violated the first, second, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth commandments in a single act of envy-driven, jealousy-driven self-indulgence. And I was thinking all along this was going to be one of the easier ones to tackle. No, that green-eyed monster, it threatens every one of us. Before we get on to some ways that that we can defeat envy, let's look at some other examples. Not only David, who coveted Uriah's wife, and that story is found in 2 Samuel chapter 11, but let's go all the way back to the beginning. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. And let's just stop off in Genesis chapter 4. Remember the story of Cain and Abel? Envy and covetousness was all over it. Because they both made an offering to God, but God preferred Abel's offering over Cain's. And Cain grew jealous of that. He grew envious of Abel's offering. And that gateway sin led to what? The first murder. The first murder in the Bible started with envy and covetousness. Genesis chapter 37, you have the story of Joseph. And Joseph was a young boy, 17 years old. He was the apple of his daddy's eye, right? So fond of Joseph was Jacob. But Jacob had 12 sons. But he kind of preferred Joseph and gave Joseph a coat of many colors. And Joseph, you know, a little young boy, prances around like a peacock in his multicolored jacket and stirred and evoked the jealousy of his brothers. And what did they do? They threw him in a pit and then sold him into slavery. Yeah, we could tell Joseph, you know, he could have handled the fondness of his father with a little bit more maturity, but still, no excuse for the jealous, envious rage of his own brothers. And then probably the most infamous story of jealousy and envy in the Bible is the relationship between King Saul and King David, young King David. Long before the David and Bathsheba scene, Israel wanted a king. Israel looked around and they saw the other nations. The other nations had kings. We want a king too. They went to the prophet Samuel and said, "Get us a king." Samuel said, "No, God is your king." You know, it started with envy. They envied the other nations that had kings. Finally, the prophet Samuel goes to the Lord and said, "What am I supposed to do with this?" And the Lord says, "Listen, they've already rejected me as king, so give them a king." Saul became king. Saul started out well, but he ended poorly. The rise and fall of King Saul is one of the great tragedies in the Bible. And when the Lord had taken the kingdom away from Saul, he told Samuel to go find the king amongst Jesse's sons. And this is where David was, the young little shepherd boy. And David went out and he slayed the giant Goliath. And, well, his fame just rocketed to the moon. And the cheerleaders used to say, as David would come back from his military escapades, you know, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And you know what it did in the heart of Saul? It stirred up the green-eyed monster. And he grew jealous of David. And he pursued David. He hunted him down. He threw a spear at David and, you know, was out to get David. Until finally Saul dies and David assumes the throne. It is a story dripping in envy and jealousy and covetousness. Even the Apostle Paul struggled with covetousness and envy. If you were to ask Paul, if you were to put the seven deadly sins in front of the Apostle Paul and say, which one do you struggle with the most? You know what he would say? Envy. And he'd point us to Romans chapter 7 in verses 7 and 8. He says, if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. The law he's talking about is the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. What's Paul saying here? He's saying, before I even heard that coveting was wrong, I didn't even know I had the green-eyed monster in me. But as soon as I read the law, you shall not covet anything of your neighbor's, suddenly I became aware I was a sinner. I was a sinner who had violated the holy standard of God. And I needed the grace of God. We could go on in Scripture to many other places where envy is singled out as as something we must defeat. Job chapter 5 and verse 2, surely vexation kills the fool and jealousy slays the simple. Psalm 37 verses 1 and 2, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Proverbs gives us wise words about living in the horizontal world in which we live. Chapter 14 and verse 30, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. What a picture there. Jealousy, envy, covetousness, it'll rot you from the inside out. Chapter 23 and verse 17, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Let's step into the New Testament. Let's go to that great love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know? One that says love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy. It'll destroy a marriage. It'll destroy a relationship. And then I got to toss in James. James chapter 4 and verse 16. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, James says. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. That ought to get every one of our attentions. That little green monster inside of us known as envy will destroy. And it has nothing to do with the wisdom from above. In fact, James says it's of the devil. It is demonic. And where there's jealousy and all that goes with it, there's disorder, there's chaos, and every vile practice can be linked directly back to envy.
Do you want to overcome envy? The place to start is by thanking God for what you have, instead of focusing on what you have not. You're listening to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Today's message, Defeating Envy, is part of Ron's series, Undefeated, Overcoming the Deadly Sins That Drag You Down. Look for it under the Resource tab at somethinggoodradio.org.
Learn contentment. You know, back when the seven deadly sins came out, and back from the 6th century on, they would work them into plays and poetry and different ways of talking about them. I mentioned earlier in the series that they would always work in the corresponding heavenly virtues. And the most often corresponding heavenly virtue to envy was gratitude, but I got to add another one there. It's contentment. They're kind of in the same field. They're in a related family.
That's tomorrow in part two of Dr. Ron Jones' message, Defeating Envy. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.